Genghis Khan was the founder of the Mongol Empire, which became the largest continuous empire in history after his death in the 13th century. He came to power by uniting many nomadic tribes and conquering most of Eurasia, which included the wholesale massacre of civilian populations. One of his most famous sayings was, and I quote, "I am the punishment of God. If you had not committed great sins, God would not have sent a punishment like me upon you." Genghis Khan is a title, which means universal ruler. He was born with the name Temujin, and according to the Persian historian Abulghazi, the tribal clan to which Temujin belonged were known as the Borki Khan, which means gray-eyed men. The ancestral mother and founder of this clan was known as Alan Goa, meaning beautiful Alan. According to Mongol and Chinese legends, she was said to have been visited in her tent by a divine being who possessed golden hair, a fair complexion, and gray eyes. Shortly after this visitation, she gave birth to the first member of the Borchi Khan clan. Genghis Khan himself was noted in Chinese descriptions of him for his tall stature and heavy beard. Temujin's wife was Bortai, who also bore a name which means gray-eyed. New archaeological finds in Asia are forcing a re-examination of old Chinese books that describe historical or legendary figures of great height with deep-set blue or green eyes, long noses, full beards, or red or blonde hair. Scholars have traditionally scoffed at these ancient myths, but it now appears that these accounts were actually correct. Many people are still unaware of the fact that China has massive pyramids that rival Egypt in size and age, probably because so many attempts are made to hide them. China's landscape is not only littered with enormous pyramids, but with hundreds of ancient mummies, like the 4,000-year-old Beauty of Lulong. Chinese researchers say they have found a strange pyramid-shaped chamber while surveying the massive underground tomb of China's first emperor. Remote sensing equipment has revealed what appears to be a 100-foot-high room above Emperor Qin Shi Huang's tomb, which has not yet been excavated. Qin is credited with starting construction on the Great Wall and commissioning an army of terracotta soldiers to guard his tomb. Thousands of these terracotta warriors were discovered several decades ago. A few years ago, Dr. Duan, the archaeologist in charge of excavating the first emperor's tomb, unearthed 120 skeletons of workers who were buried near the mausoleum. Among the finds were three skulls that were definitely not Chinese. Dr. Duan said, and I quote, "There's three skulls that are different from the rest of them, which represent the Mongolian type of people." DNA tests were performed, and they indicated that the individuals were from, and again I quote, "West Eurasia, probably like a white people," end quote. Professor Zhang Weixing, lead archaeologist at the tomb site, said, and I quote, "The archaeological work undertaken here recently is more important than anything in the last 40 years. By systematically examining the first emperor's main tomb and subsidiary burials, we have discovered something more important than even the terracotta army. The mitochondrial DNA samples revealed that European-like type people had settled down in China and died there during the time of the first emperor and even before then." The Yellow Emperor of China was known by his Chinese name Huang Di and is considered the father of Chinese medicine. Huang Di lived 5,000 years ago, and to this day the cult of the Yellow Emperor remains a powerful symbol within Chinese nationalism, despite being forbidden in the People's Republic of China until the end of the Cultural Revolution. Traditionally credited with numerous inventions and innovations, such as the lunar calendar, the Yellow Emperor is now regarded as the initiator of the original Chinese culture. In traditional Chinese accounts, he is credited with teaching the nomadic hunters of his tribe how to build shelters, tame and domesticate wild animals, use of the bow sling, math, the cart and boat, Chinese astronomy, and to grow the five grains, along with Shennong, another bearded, pre-dynastic Chinese ruler. Huang Ti Nei Qing literally translates to Esoteric Scripture of the Yellow Emperor, an ancient Chinese medical text that has been treated as a fundamental doctrinal source for Chinese medicine for more than two millennia. It's also a major book of Taoist theory, teaching that the universe is composed of various forces and principles, such as yin and yang, or positive and negative polarities. Man, it is said, is a microcosm that mirrors the larger macrocosm, and the alchemical principles of the Tao are not only at play in the universe around us, but inside each of us as well. The way of yin and yang is of paramount importance to the Taoist system of health and longevity. Passed down since the time of the Yellow Emperor, these ancient techniques of energy transmutation are based upon the balance achieved through a union of opposites. For a man to nurture his male powers, he must nourish his yang essence by absorbing yin essence. When men and women exchange bioelectromagnetic energy, or qi, they both experience an increase in vitality, creativity, rejuvenation, and willpower. Through prolonged tantric union, constantly nourishing and preserving their precious vital essence, partners can cure many ailments and promote long life and spiritual well-being. If the vital essence are dried up due to excessive emission or complete neglect, they can never be revived. When the ebb and flow of yin and yang is in balance, intimate union becomes inexhaustible source of energy, like a well that never runs dry, and the alchemical transmutation of carnal energy into pure spiritual power becomes rather effortless. This is the way of the Tao. Preserving the male vital essence is at the heart of the Taoist transmutation, as is absorbing and circulating the woman's life force energy. It is also important that the woman feel safe and loved for the harnessing of qi. The Yellow Emperor reigned from 2697 BC to 2597 BC and was supposedly named for the yellow soil of the plains. However, others argue that he was in fact named for the golden color of his hair, meaning he was Caucasian. Born in 372 BC, Mencius, or Mengzi, was a Chinese Confucian philosopher who has often been described as the second sage, that is, second to Confucius himself. He is said to have spent much of his life traveling around the states offering counsel to different rulers, and asserts that quite a few of the Chinese sagas, such as Shun and King Wen, were not even ethnically East Asian or Chinese. Quote, Shun was one of the foreigners in the East, and King Wen was one of the foreigners in the West. The late Chang Tsung Tung, author of Indo-European Vocabulary in Old Chinese, a new thesis on the emergence of Chinese language and civilization in the late Neolithic Age, pointed to the northwestern origin attributed in Chinese mythological narratives to many cultural innovations, such as writing, and argued that the yellow name of the Yellow Emperor was not the emblematic color of the North China Plain, but the blonde color of Hongdi's hair, claiming that he was indeed of a Caucasian phenotype, and postulated that ancient Asia was ruled by a white noble class, not only China, but also Korea and Japan. This assertion is supported by the discovery of hundreds of massive pyramids littering the landscape of China, along with swastika-adorned 4,000-year-old blonde and red-headed mummies, which started turning up in the Chinese desert in the 1980s. That said, by reviewing ancient texts and looking at historical archaeology, we see that a strong case could be made for hypotheses that the Zhao royalty were Indo-Europeans. The Zhao dynasty existed from 1046 BC to 256 BC and was the longest dynastic regime in Chinese history. This period marked the zenith of Chinese bronzeware making and is also famous for the beginnings of two major Chinese philosophies, Confucianism and Taoism. According to Chinese mythology, the Zhao lineage began with the advent of agriculture, and all farming lands were owned by nobles, who then gave their land to their serfs, a situation similar to European feudalism. The Huihong tomb, located in China, has been excavated since 1999. The burial style and multicolor relief have a Central Asian appearance, while the people pictured in the reliefs have obviously European morphological traits, such as straight noses and deep-set eyes. DNA analysis of the mitochondrial DNA of human remains excavated from the Huihong tomb in China, dated 1400 years ago, shows that Huihong belonged to haplogroup U5, one of the oldest Western Eurasian-specific haplogroups, having arisen 35,000 years ago by Cro-Magnon. Cro-Magnon DNA, incidentally, has been sequenced and shown to be nearly identical to modern Europeans. The findings show that Huihong had a lineage similar to Europeans, yet lived in central China 1,400 years ago. While the time of the Yellow Emperor was several millennia earlier, the presence of an ancient Caucasoid phenotype in East Asia is well established.
Anthropologists called them Asiatic Caucasoids because they had facial features and body hair that seemed more European than Asian. In fact, the Ainu are thought to be a remnant of a very ancient population that was once widespread in the Old World.
This is 28,000 years from China.
What we know of these early Asians is based on just a few skulls.
It's one of the earliest anatomically modern Homo sapiens in Asia.
One of them is a 28,000-year-old specimen from China, which looks very much like the 9,000-year-old spirit caveman.
And there are some marked similarities in the facial architecture.
Tremendous similarity in the shapes of the eye orbits, in the sense that they're both somewhat rectangular, similar interorbital distance, overall appearance of the orbits, the shape of the nose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But many of the features, including the very heavy mandible and the prominent mm-hmm. symphysis here, those features are very much the same.
My name is Robert Sepper. My books are available on Amazon.com. If you like my videos, please subscribe, share. I love reading your comments, and I thank you for listening. See you next time.